Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. If you are a religious person, then you believe in prayer, and you probably believe that you have had answered prayers, and no doubt you have. But you may also feel that many of your prayers weren't answered, and we may wonder why. Perhaps we understand that if God did everything for us or for others that we ask Him to, then we would be like spoiled kids that grow up getting everything they wanted and would think that they should have everything laying in their laps even when grown. So it wouldn't work God's purpose in us if God gave us everything we want and if He would answer every prayer. For many times our wants aren't necessarily our needs. We may not understand our needs because our wants may keep us from seeing what it is that we really need. Kids often ask for many things that they really don't need, but often things that they really want. Are we that way in asking God for things we want and not understanding what it is that we really need that would be for our long-term good? Many parents dread the day they have to buy their teens a car. They fear the worst may happen. In God's sight, we are just kids, and we ask for wants, not realizing that our wants aren't always good for us. But God in His love and wisdom won't give us what will hurt us. But if we are a true Christian, a true servant of God, God promises to give us our needs. There are many examples in the Bible of answered prayers, and they weren't based on selfish reasons, and they weren't half-hearted prayers either. The New Testament tells us that God doesn't hear sinners. In the book of John, chapter 9, is the account of Christ healing a blind man. And in verses 29 through 23, we read this, beginning in verse 29 of John chapter 9. We know that God spoke to Moses, as far as this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Now this is the Pharisees speaking to this man that God had healed his eyes. We know that God spoke to Moses. As far as this fellow, speaking of Christ here, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, well, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. And yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So if you want your prayers heard, you have to be a worshiper of God and you have to be doing his will. And God promises that he will hear. Now, he doesn't promise that he's going to answer every prayer, but he does promise that he will hear. This man goes on here. He said, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. But even if you aren't a sinner, and if you are a true blue Christian, that doesn't mean that God will answer every prayer, because you may ask for things you don't need, and that wouldn't be good for you. But God does promise that he will hear you. God commands us to let our requests be made known to the Lord. Notice what Christ has to say here, or Paul has to say, inspired by God, in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So God tells us to do this. He says, do it in prayer and supplication. Let your requests be known with thanksgiving. Yes, have your prayers mixed with being in a thankful attitude toward God for what he has done. Let your requests be known to God. Paul said he asked God three times to heal the thorn in his flesh. But what did God say about that? What was the answer that God gave Paul? Notice in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 6 through 9. For though I might desire to boast, Paul speaking, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I forbear, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now God allowed this so that Paul would stay humble and go on and do his work in the way that God wanted him to do it, and that Paul would have the spiritual growth that he needed himself. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now, Paul was asking God, beseeching God in heartfelt prayer, that this thorn in the flesh would be taken away from him. And God said to him, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God told Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. We can understand that sometimes God sees and knows and understands that it's not in our best interest to answer and even heal us when we feel that we really need that. God in Christ knew it wouldn't be in the best interest of Paul's long-term spiritual growth to heal him of that problem, which was probably his eyes. So if you are a true Christian, maybe you can begin to understand why God doesn't answer right away, or doesn't answer in the way or at the time that we want him to. But you have had your needs. When you think about that, you can say that if you are a true Christian, that God has always given you your needs, if you really trust God in faith, that is. So what are some of the keys or requirements of answered prayers? We just read in John 9 that God doesn't hear sinners. So that would mean that you have to be a Christian, a Christ-like person, a person that has repented, been baptized, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you are walking in newness of life, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ in obedience to God's word and his law. God looks on the heart, and the instant that you truly repent in God's sight, you are no longer a sinner. And God will hear your prayers even before you have the opportunity to be baptized. But you must go on and meet the other requirements of God if you want God to continue to hear and answer your prayers. So point number 2 is that you must have faith. Notice what James had to say in James 1, beginning in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything of the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God says if you want anything from him, you can't be wishy-washy. You can't be on both sides of the fence at the same time. You've got to have faith in God, and you've got to be trusting God all the way. Notice in James 5, beginning verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. See, it's God's will that we pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, notice this, my friend. God says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven of those sins. In James 2, beginning in verse 14, continuing to talk about faith here, James asked the question. He said, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So James is telling us that faith and works go together, and either one of them without the other one is actually dead. And especially, he says, faith without works, faith without obedience to God, living the kind of life that God requires, faith without that kind of life is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Satan and his demons believe that there is one true God. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? James continues to repeat this. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Yes, it took both of them, didn't it? And it still does today. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Yes, Abraham believed God, and he proved it by the faith that he had and by the works that he had. Well, my friend, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next broadcast, so keep listening. In the meantime, if you would like to understand more about this topic, then we invite you to request our free booklet, What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation? And our free article, The Faith Once Delivered. And all you need to do, just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request our free booklet, What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation? And our article, The Faith Once Delivered. And all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080. That's 1-800-611-8080. No one will call on you. You will just receive the literature that you requested. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you on our next program.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.